Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, Site Visibility have recently released their 2020 PPC automation guide. It's completely free to download, and it's going to help you to get started with each of the new automation settings within Google Ads. So this includes smart bidding, responsive ad testing, dynamic search ads, and more. The best way to accelerate your PPC growth in 2020 is to start planning today. So download your guide for free at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/PPC-automation-guide. I'll say that again. Bit.ly, that's bit.ly/PPC-automation-guide. Now today I'm joined by Chris Hatherall, Senior Media Consultant at Midnight PR. Chris, how are you?
I'm well, thank you very much. Surviving, that's the main thing anyway.
Yes. And you're in Brighton, aren't you?
We're in Brighton. Normally I'd say sunny Brighton, a bit overcast today, but still good to be by the seaside. And I'm very lucky. I live in a flat with a view of the sea, so that's at least that's getting me through the days.
That's nice. Our Brighton house, you can only see the sea when you're sitting on the loo, but it's still quite nice.
Any view is better than none.
Yeah. Now, today, I want to talk about top tips for communicating in a crisis in 2020. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about yourself, Chris, and a little bit about Midnight PR.
Yeah, so Midnight Communications is a PR based in Brighton, but we're a national PR company, and we cover the whole country. And in fact, we have some clients abroad as well. So we've been going since 1995, probably one of the longest serving PR companies in the region, I should imagine. And hopefully we're doing a great job.
Now, the whole country is watching press conferences every day. I mean, we get one from the government every day, and there are others. How is it going to change the way people in business are trained to talk to the media, do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this, because I've worked for many years before I was at Midnight as a journalist. I still work as a journalist and in my spare time now too. And so from a professional point of view, it's been really interesting watching all these interviews that are going on almost on a daily basis on television from the government and from all sorts of other agencies as well. And what I've noticed really is that there's starting to be a bit of change in the way that people are expected to communicate these days. Social media has had a huge impact because social media, it requires people to have a conversation. And it's created a generation of people who don't just want to be told what to do. They want to have a conversation about it. They want to know why. They want to have a discussion. And that's a challenge for a government when they're effectively in a position where they want to tell people what to do in these difficult times. And what they've done, I think, is that they've tried to move them focus away from politicians by bringing experts into the mix. So when we see those press conferences every day, it's not just the minister who's telling us what to do. He or she is then bringing in experts in their own profession who are being called on to talk to the public and give their own expert profile and advice. So I think that's quite a different thing. That's something we haven't always seen before. And we may well see that moves, you know, into business too, in terms of a lot of different types of people might be required to talk to the media in future.
Yes, interesting, because they're always flanked, aren't they, by the chief scientific advisor and the somebody from Public Health England normally, aren't they?
Yes, I mean, it's a clever way in a way, because, you know, whenever a difficult question is asked, they can pass it on to an expert to answer instead. But it also gives the public more confidence that the person who's talking knows what they're talking about, and that their advice is based on expertise, not on politics.
I want to talk about bridging, actually, because it's something I didn't know about. I read about it recently, and for years, media training has focused on bridging. So this is the art of sort of a bit like politicians do. You hear one question, but you actually answer another. You sort of sneak your own message in, sort of regardless of the question. Now, there's a big change there. I guess, are people getting wise to that?
Yeah, I think that's been going on for so long now, and I've worked in teaching people how to deal with interviews for a long time, and in the past, bridging was one of the real key techniques that was always taught, even by the media trainers that are hired by the government. But I have a feeling now, really, that it's almost had its day. The public have seen through it. They know when a politician is using a bridging technique to answer the question in their own way rather than give us a real answer. So if somebody, for instance, says, can you explain why we don't have enough PPE for nurses and in the NHS, a politician might say, well, I feel the more important question to discuss is something else. And that's the way they answer it. And although that's a very useful technique when you are asked a really difficult question, one that you might find difficult to answer under pressure, it's a useful technique to know, but it doesn't really give the people you are talking to a feeling of confidence in what you're saying. They see through it these days. So the current advice really is you want to try and replace that by just remembering that you're a human being, remembering that you're a normal person talking to normal people. And if there are questions you can't answer because you don't know the answers or because you're not qualified to give the answer, it's perfectly okay to say you can't answer them, as long as you can explain to people why and give some people some knowledge about yourself and maybe suggest somebody who would be more appropriate to ask that question.
Yeah, it's actually really difficult to do, isn't it, to actually admit that you don't know an answer. But can that be used as a sort of, some people would argue that that's a sort of very honest, very open and a very brave thing to do. Is that the way you see it?
I think so. I think what the public wants now more than anything is transparency. Mm. They want honesty and transparency in the people that they hear from. And it's very the most difficult people, for politicians, it's very tough for them to just come out and say they don't know the answer, especially in a live interview. And perhaps that's where the politicians are not really being able to move on past that technique. But for most people, if you're a business person, or even if you work for one of the emergency services, there are lots of reasons why you might not know an answer. And the best way to tackle it is to explain exactly why, explain the background, explain why it's so tough, and why you cannot answer that.
And we've spoken about being honest and transparency. I'm just wondering, in your view, Chris, what would one of the biggest trends in modern communication be? I mean, we hear a lot about empathy, obviously transparency. In your mind, what's the one of the biggest trends?
Yeah, for me, it's empathy.
Yeah,
it's having the ability as a human being to understand how other people feel, and to think about the people that you're talking to, and think, when I give my message, how will they receive it? And how will it make them feel? What impact might it have on them? What questions might they ask afterwards? So it's a very sort of soft skill in that sense. It's not the same as having this sort of expertise to fight a nasty journalist in a really tough one-on-one interview. It's about having the confidence to be yourself and to show some understanding for the people you're talking to. And there are situations when if you are dealing with a really difficult journalist, that you can say, hang on, the questions you're asking are not actually fair. Mm. Because, we're dealing here with a situation, for instance, where people are dying and where people are scared and they're nervous. Your questions are not helping. And I think that's a better way to deal with those kind of conversations. Yeah. And if you look at Matt Hancock this week, you know, in the time that he got it wrong, which where, you know, he went out with this sort of narrative around the badges for those in social care. You know, it wasn't in itself an awful thing to be offering, but in the whole, what he didn't sit down and consider was how the people he's talking to might feel when that's what he was offering at a time when what they really needed was PPE and help and for the country to care about them. And I think really, had he put it in that context, maybe he wouldn't have got those nasty front pages, you know, about how callous he'd been with that particular campaign. Mm. And different politicians are dealing with this in different ways. I'd probably say that maybe in terms of the empathy factor, Matt Hancock might be one of the ones that needs a little more coaching on it. Mm. But there are others that do it better. Dominic Raab yesterday, I think when he was talking about the numbers, he used much different kind of language. He talked about that every time he goes to the lectern to read out the toll of how many people have died, that he walks away and he thinks of their sons and daughters going through that right now, their brothers, their sisters, their grandchildren, all those left behind. And that's what drives him to keep going, to try and help. So those are that's a kind of a more honest, connecting way of dealing with those kind of questions than always trying to find solutions and then some finding you're offering the wrong thing.
Yeah. Do you know what? I always say this. I'm very vocal about this, Laurie, but I do think us guys have got a lot to learn from the ladies about empathy. I always get her name. I always pronounce her name wrong. Is it Jacinda?
Jacinda.
I fail to come away from seeing her without being incredibly impressed whenever she speaks about anything.
Yeah, Jacinda Ardern, she's a New Zealand Prime Minister, and she's won a lot of plaudits for the way that she's dealt with some difficult events in New Zealand, not least the attack in Christchurch on the mosque there. And she's one that people perhaps should have a look at. You know, look at some of her videos, think, how can I replicate the kind of language that she uses? But she's just got a way about her. And I think that maybe that's the hard part. Not everybody can learn that. She did recently a video from her own home during the lockdown. And rather than, you know, sat at a desk with a suit on, she was, you know, sat up on her couch with her knees up, wearing tracksuit, talking to the nation. I'm saying that I'm in lockdown just like you are. I'm sat at home here on my sofa.
Yeah.
And I know how you all feel. So that's, you know, to have the confidence to do that, you know, sat there, you know, informal, no makeup, in her own home, in tracksuit bottoms, you know, you don't see that often from a leader. We're so obsessed with having that image of a powerful leader who must lead and be strong, but there are different ways of doing it. And I think she's really showed that.
Yeah.
Actually, there's another thing I might want to mention, really, that I do some work with the College of Policing as a sort of subject matter expert in media with them. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see how the police in particular trying to change their language on social media. Because in the past, certainly when I was a young journalist, if you went to ask a police officer for a story as a journalist, it was, I'm sorry, young man, that's on a need to know basis and you don't need to know. There was not a lot of human interaction with the police at that time and mm-hmm. Their messaging was very staccato, very, very straight and quite, you know, quite boring in its own way. Now they're trying to understand what their audience is and who they are. And to give you an example, perhaps, of how empathy can work, if you look back to the fire at Grenfell, there was some horrible situations after that in which people were taking photographs of dead bodies, which has become, unfortunately, something that happens quite a lot after Nazi incidents and bombings and attacks. Mm. It's very strange, but it's often you'll find members of the public trying to take pictures afterwards. And on that occasion, the police intervened and they got the person, the perpetrator, and they actually gave him a prison sentence, or the courts gave him a prison sentence after he was arrested. But since then, they've tried to change tack a little bit. And more recently, they simply used a message on social media that when somebody took a photograph of bodies, they said, how would you feel if that was your daughter in the photograph? Mm. Please don't do it. Mm. And that simple message, which just caught the public's mood, was so impactful that they didn't have any more problems with that issue in that event. So it's amazing how just getting the right message sometimes and connecting with people can help people change people's behavior just as much as wagging a finger can.
Yeah. So finally, I just want to come back perhaps to a slightly more general question, which would be, I mean, why should you talk to the media in the first place? Is it worth putting your head above the parapet effectively?
Well, I think talking to a lot of our clients at the moment and talking to businesses around the region, a lot of people say in a crisis, the most important thing you should do is communicate. And I think that's a really good thing to consider at this time, because a lot of businesses are not able to be with their customers. A lot of them are not even able to open, but they are still able to communicate. They can still talk, remind people they're there. And I think, you know, that's one of the key things of keeping your business going at this really difficult time. You know, I think maybe a company that's really showing that is Brighton and Hove Albion Football Club, which are, you know, they've done some very impressive work over the last month or so. For instance, they're holding weekly press conferences online so that they're still talking to people, to the media. They're ringing their supporters to talk to them and offer support. They're holding online forums for supporter groups, and the same for staff. So they've basically made a decision, the chief executive there, Paul Barber, that they want to communicate, and keep on going. And that's something that's bringing them a lot of warmth in response, because people appreciate the fact that they're still talking. And I think you could definitely replicate that at countries across the country who want to make sure that they're still there when the lockdown finishes.
So one top tip or a key takeaway for our audience today, Chris, perhaps from our conversation today, what might it be?
Yeah, I have to go back to that empathy thing, because I think, you know, if you are going to be the person that's going to be representing your business in a media interview in the future, or if you're ever going to be lucky enough to do a televised interview, really, you need to remember to be a human being and to remember why you're doing the interview and what you want to achieve from it. So, for instance, you know, a lot of people think all I need to do in this interview is get through it without making an idiot of myself. I just need to get through it. But that completely destroys the reason why they're doing it in the first place, because they're doing it to connect with other people, to talk to potential customers, to build the profile of their business. And really, the best way to do that is to be a human being, to understand who you're talking to and how they might receive your messages, and to just build that skill of being able to communicate with people.
Chris Hatherall of Midnight PR, thanks so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you and Midnight PR?
Yeah, well, they can go to our website, which is midnight.co.uk. And they can also find us on Twitter at Midnight Comms, and that's capital M and capital C for comms, but only one M. And we'd be love to hear from them.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Chris. And thanks for listening, listeners. I nearly said viewers then. Listeners. The show notes are going to be in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/IM podcast. I would encourage our listeners to leave a review for enjoying the show, because that shows appreciation. It helps us to get out to more people. If you've got questions and suggestions for future topics, then the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at Site Visibility. We have a Site Visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Chris.
Yes, just stay well and keep communicating.
Thanks, Chris. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.